is an interview with Mr. and Mrs. Ben Mincy at their home in Savannah.
B.J.
Oh, B.J.
Yeah.
B.J. Mincy. And the interviewer is Barbara Hendry, and this is tape number CB/022BH.
Here, 36th Street, and it's a white family, Helmys, H-E-L-M-Y-S. And they're the only white people on that street there. Then we come on up to 37th and the Geechee Road, the Miltiades, the Greek that ran that wood yard and everything else on the northeast corner of 37th and the Geechee Road.
And what was their name, the Greek?
Miltiades.
Do you remember how to spell that one?
No, I don't.
M-I-L. T-I-A-D, yeah.
Okay, that was all one name.
Or he could have been Assyrian, far as that goes.
Mm-hmm.
I know one thing, he could eat lamb.
Mm-hmm.
He'd kill a lamb, and they'd roast it, and he'd eat a hind quarter at one sitting, and then some. And he lived with this colored woman that she worked, kept house for him. And then on the other corner was Ben Kimball and his son Bubba Kimball. Now they dealt in some moonshine, but I never tell the revenue people who did and who didn't. That's the reason why a lot of them traded with me.
No, Daddy Grace lived
too? No, Daddy Grace lived. He didn't live over there. He stayed on but his church, he had one on the 36th or 7th.
You ever heard Daddy Grace?
Oh, yes. I've heard other people talk about him and how he'd come to town once a year. There'd be a big
procession. He'd come more often than that, charging $5,000 to come. And also, he'd buy his handkerchiefs, little lady handkerchiefs from him at church, and he'd charge him to shake his hand. And then he had an electric battery that he used to give him a little shock, and they thought this heaven was speaking to him. But Ben Kimball was a fixture in that neighborhood for years and years. And his son also lived down there. This is on 37th Street, west of the Geechee Road,
mm-hmm.
just about less than a block. I don't remember her name. She used to run a large house on the corner, southeast corner, or southwest corner of 37th and the Geechee Road. And she used to come out on the side of the house and holler that the blacksmith, he had a place in her backyard. I think it was a kind of a garage. And he was a cripple. I don't ever remember his name. She'd always call him Blacksmith. And she was trying to collect rent and stuff like that from him, which went on 3 or 4 times a week or more. And then come the garage right across from me. It was operated by the Deloaches. It was 4 brothers there. Rex was the oldest. Tom was the next one. Then, Lee was next to the oldest. Then Tom. Then Rex. Then Bobby. And they're all now dead. And the garage, I think, went out, and they used to do a lot of repair work on these tourists who were having trouble getting down to Florida and having trouble with their car. Then come my station right there. Then Professor Hubert, he was on Geechee Road, and I would call it 38th Street. And he had a group of daughters, and they all taught in school. And then right next to me was Lamkin. he was a preacher, Negro preacher, and he was a mail carrier, and he had one child, a daughter. He passed away, and this daughter married and went to Atlanta. And his wife, I think, finally moved to Atlanta. Then following him comes the Texaco station operated by Mr. Felder. He's an elderly white man. And then next to him was another service station, Gulf, operated by Mr. Brooks. And Brooks finally closed up and went out, and he eventually was there a very short period of time on the corner of East Broad and 37th Street. Then further down on the where the swimming pool is at, there's a Texaco station that operated by Wise. And then beyond him, down there was
at E.W. Laundry.
No, wait a minute. You're going way back the other direction now. Wait a minute, Pearl. Roscoe, Denmark. He operated a service station and wholesale gasoline. They used to ride around town little trucks and put gasoline in your car right from the truck. 5 gallons or a dollar's worth, whatever. Whether you've got the right measurements, I'll never know. And then we come up to the Ogeechee Wrecking Company. And that's about the area that we would generally cover. Otherwise, there's transits and tourist homes on 37th Street, practically all together. And we never had any special ones that we catered to by sending them to trade. We were very careful about recommending a place to stay, because in those days it was either tourist homes, very few motels. And so for that reason, we just didn't recommend anybody. Plantation Inn was one of them, operated by the Yalls. But they, of course, have expanded that motel business in both directions on both sides of the highway. And it went on all the way down to, well, you might say almost, well, into Florida. Mm-hmm. But on the whole, I never had any trouble within the neighborhood. Never had any trouble. We used to have hitchhikers. It was back in those days, there'd be 10, 15 of them lined up over there on the corner trying to thumb a ride going to Florida. I would not permit them to come into my station to ask anybody for a ride. And I would advise them not to give anybody rides, because they're the most ungrateful crowd of people. And they would rob you.
What years were are these that you're especially talking about? What period?
Oh, in the 30s.
So this was maybe Depression and also, time with all these hitchhikers
and 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the best mode of travel in those days, of hitchhiking. And so I would not permit any of them come in my place of business. Because, and I used to open up when it was dark. I would never take no money out of the car, because it's in the trunk of the car, until I went in and unlocked the station. And I had iron bars on it all the way around. On one occasion, I thought I was going to be robbed. A man walked up and says, "I want to use your head." I said, you got your head on your head. You better get your behind out of here, because I'll shoot you before you know what happens." And he moved out. But anyway, I operated a clean place, and all of my men wore coats, garage coats, because it was cold weather and people were going down to Florida. And they give it the appearance of being mechanics. Of course, we did no mechanical work. But you have the impression they know what they were doing, and they did. And beyond that, there's not too much more that I can tell you about the personalities of some of them, except Mr. Felder. I knew him pretty well. He was a nice person. He was up quite a bit in age. And the Wise, they operated an independent cutthroat station. Now that's up there near the swimming pool.
There are
mostly
swimming stations around there because
of
what? Last stations before going to Florida.
What?
There were mostly service stations there, one after another.
No, now Pearl, we were not right next to one another. There was space in between us. Between Mr. Felder and myself, it must have been as far as from here to Atlantic Avenue. And then from Mr. Felder to Mr. Brooks, he was the closest one block away. He was the Gulf Station on the corner of the Geechee Road. And then Wise, Schumann and Wise, was about another distance at least, as far as from here to almost Reynolds on the right-hand side. And then came Roscoe Denmark, who operated 37th and Victor Drive in the Geechee Road. He bought Denmark Oil out. That's whenever Roscoe...
I thought you worked from 6:30 in the morning until 11 o'clock at night. I wanted to see him, go visit him there, get the children with him, get the lawn, had a nice yard there.
So you spent a lot of time there on those premises.
Just sitting there on the grass and have a picnic lunch like that with the children there. But I enjoyed walking out to Warsaw, meeting Sandy's mother. I was at the grocery store at that time.
No, I don't know what other questions you would care to answer. Ask if you care to. Go ahead and ask them. I'll see if I can answer.
Okay. When did you first get your business started at that location?
It was already there. Standard Oil Company has a station, and they had it leased, managed by Mr. Tyson, and they canceled Mr. Tyson out, and he went to Victor Drive and Bull Texaco station, and I succeeded him because I was a junior manager of the Standard Oil at 42nd and Bull.
Okay.
And from there I went out and I leased it. That's when the NRA came into being. Roosevelt inaugurated that and forced these major oil companies to, well, we used to have to work from 8 in the morning till 6 in the afternoon, and after that you have to go out in the neighborhood and solicit people to come in and buy gasoline from you. And most of the, in that neighborhood was servants that answered the door. And you'd have to make the report to the company. And
you'd have to go door after to door and try to ask people to come in and purchase gas?
And then you'd say, well, they, you'd, on your report, you'd say was unable to talk to the owner. And they said, and if you put on, they said they would come by, you had to make a follow-up call as to whether they did come in or did not. And then the oil company would not permit you to smoke inside their service station, their lot, or anywhere. You'd have to go out in the street to smoke if you wanted to. They were ruthless. So when the NRA came in, that's whenever I took over 37th and the Geechee Road.
About what year was that?
About 1930.
James born in 34 and Bridget born in 37. Bridget had the two children then.
About 1937, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Standard Oil was having trouble with their dealer at Bay and West Broad, and I took that over, and that's when I got my brother to go come leave Southern Dairies and come and take over that station because he could make more money. And so he took over from me until we entered the war with Japan.
The long hours. You have to work 7 days a week.
Well, I know that I was operating on the other person's property. And they could put you out from one mail to the next mail. No matter how much credit you had out or anything like that, it became their prerogative if they wanted to cancel you out on your lease by mailing you notice today to be out tomorrow. But I never had that to happen. But that's the extent of their leases. And so I took over Bay and West Broad and was there until I also took on the White Truck Agency. I was distributor for White Trucks, Auto Cars, Diamond Tees, Rios, and Dorsey Trailers were 31 counties in Georgia and some in Carolina, 8 in Carolina. And so I reached a point that where I had to do one of the two. I had to either keep the service station or go out and get. So I built a building and bought a lot and built a building for my agency and went into the trucking business.
And this girl that works for me, 55 years old now. She said when she was a little girl, she'd go into the station and have air put in her back of the tires.
Oh, yeah.
So that's how far back she goes knowing you. She says you know her mother and her father. I had no idea. She was 65 years old now, and a little girl went down. I can't believe it.
You just.
But she lives there. She still lives in that neighborhood.
Oh, she might. You might tell me her name afterwards. I might try to contact her. Her name
is Bernice Miller. But her name originally was Cray, C-R-A-Y. She had the telephone.
She didn't know anybody.
She had a phone now.
She does not know anybody up in that Geechee Road.
But she might have lived within that area.
Well, she still lives there in that area.
I think she is. She just doesn't know me. Even many people up on the same street they live on, Pearl, and they don't live on the Geechee Road directly.
She's on 42nd Street.
She doesn't know many of those people around there.
She lived there a long time, it sounds.
I don't think she lived there as much. After all, she was married for a while.
So,
having been service, huh? Mm-hmm. She was away for a while.
So you were in that neighborhood at your business from 37 to
41, I believe it was.
We bought this house in 1941.
Well.
You were at Bay West Broad then.
Well, it was around 40, anyhow.
And that's when you started up your trucking business?
No, I went on to Bay and West Broad operating the station there. That was the largest station they had in Savannah at that time. We had bunkhouse there for the truck drivers to stay in and take showers and everything else and spend the night. And their company knew how to call them on the road. From Indianapolis, Indiana, the Mayflower used to contact them there at the station. They would be on the way to Florida with a load of furniture and vice versa, going back empty or whatever. And then, too, you had... But it's... If I had it all to do over again, I guess starting out from scratch with no more than I education that I had, then I would do it all over again.
May I ask what years you were born?
My wife?
Both of you. What year you were born?
1909.
I was born in 1906.
Mm-hmm. And are you both from Savannah?
I am from Bullitt County.
Okay. Okay.
Rural Free Delivery.
I live over there now because I teach at Georgia Southern. And
well,
I live in a little town called Brooklyn.
Well, I used to go take my music lesson. We moved to Brooklyn after my father's death. Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. I used to live right across the street from Rima Warnock.
Uh-huh.
And then I used to take my, went to school there. And I used to take music, piano lessons there. It used to kill my soul, too. After, right at the time we were due to be playing, I'd have to go to my music. But yes, we lived in Brooklyn. And back in the days of Hobson Wyatt, Mr. Simon used to be there. I can't remember all those that were in that time.
And the young lady in charge of the landscaping at Georgia Southern is a cousin.
Trapnell.
Trapnell, last name. Nancy Trapnell.
Mm-hmm.
She said she drives the tractor and everything else along there.
Mm-hmm.
Did the planning and landscaping of the college ground.
Mm-hmm.
Know her by chance?
No, I don't. I've only been there 1 year, so I'm new to the area. Mm-hmm. Are you also from this area?
No, I'm from Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
This was back in the Depression. That's before we were married. And my mother and them went to Cleveland, Ohio with the Chicago Pneumatic Tool Company. I went up there and I made application for employment anyway. They said you couldn't buy a job anyway, but anyhow, I went to the DeMolays. That's the form of the youngsters and the Masons. They got me a job with Christ Buick, told me it was a temporary job and they'd perhaps find me another job before that one played out. And they did. So that was where eventually I met her, and I don't know what happened. Other than the fact that I had to ask her father for her hand.
You did the proper thing.
And then what brought you back to the South?
Well, it was more I thought that we had better opportunity here, and I came back to, and they said, my sister and everybody said, you just can't get a job here in Savannah. So what I did was go to the library, get the city directory, look up different companies, and then they give you the name of the man who's manager. So I went to the Standard Oil Company, and Herbert Coons was in. I went over there and I was asked to speak to Mr. Coons. He said, what do you want to see him about? I said, it's personal. So when I went in there, I told him, I said, Mr. Coons, I'm so-and-so, and I'm married and got, I said, I've got to have a job. He says, who let you in here? I says, nobody. I says, I just kind of pushed my way in. So he says, well, I think that maybe I'll find you something. So he's going to send me to Wheaton and Waters Avenue. That was a station that was just doing nothing. And before he sent me over there, this junior manager at 42nd and Bull Street become open, and he sent me, transferred me over there. And that's where I started out with my affiliation with Standard Oil Company. But on the whole, everything turned out all right.
We were fortunate to find that work all through the Depression
oh,
years.
It was, oh, you
to
better believe
come
it.
Back here and walk in.
Everybody
sell
said you just can't.
To this person.
You can't get a job. You couldn't. Mm-hmm. The pay was $65 a month, $32.50 every first and 15th.
That was when you had the Standard Oil. Or
that's when I was with Standard Oil.
In Cleveland, he made much more money. He made $35 a week. And then he used to work all the time. He used to come bring home sometimes $65 to $70 a week. We thought we were millionaires.
Yeah.
When we came to Savannah, he started that third station. When he had a tip, I don't know how much, about a nickel or dime, to buy an orange or pack of chewing gum or something for a treat.
Mm-hmm.
But you learn to live within your means, you can get along all right. We had one child, we came here, we got a phone call, you remember, when his sister and sister-in-law came to visit us that time. And his mother was having surgery. She had gallbladder and ulcer. And I was pregnant then. Mm-hmm. So that's why we didn't go back to Cleveland. We stayed here. Mm-hmm. And I had that baby here in Savannah. Mm-hmm. But I loved it here. I liked the climate.
I did like it here.
No snow and no ice. It wasn't cold. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed living here.
Lower heating bills, anyway.
Well, when you heat your whole house, and it's not too much lower. Mm. Because I think your gas bill now runs about $145 a month. Mm-hmm. And now electricity during the summer runs about $155 or so.
That's fine.
So, but anyway, we kind of made the compensation reached a point where it was coming out ahead. And I had to operate in, while I was in the service station every day as if that was the last day, knowing full well that that was Standard Oil and they could put me out in one day.
You were leasing the station from them, the one on Ogeechee.
That was just their method of getting around the NRA.
Okay.
So it's operated like that.
And I get the sense that Ogeechee at that time was one of the major routes to Florida.
It was the only one.
Was it part of Highway 17?
It was no part. It was it.
Okay.
37th Street, they used to come down Montgomery Street to 37th, go west on 37th to Ogeechee Road, and then to go south on Ogeechee Road. That was US 17 South.
It was a first Standard Oil Service Station coming in from Florida and
the
last one going back?
No.
No?
Only
Standard Oil then?
No, there's more than one. You had the one at the truck stop, and then one at on the corner of Millsby Lane and Ogeechee Road, then mine, then you had Jackie Rogers on the corner of Henry and Montgomery, then you had Wallace Brown at Harris and Montgomery. Then you had.
Was it all Standard Oil?
Yes, sir. Then you had one at Bay and West Broad. Then you one had at Lathrop and Bay Street. Then you had A&M. So there's a lot of Standard Oil stations, but we pushed. Mm-hmm. We operated that. As a matter of fact, there was some one of us out in that driveway all the time. You'd never out there, even in the freezing weather, you're never out there more than 15 minutes when one man would take your place, another one would take your place.
To try to entice people. Yeah. And you had so much competition right around on that same street, sounds like.
Yeah.
And was most of your trade tourists?
Oh, yes.
Traveling people?
Well, the local people would come in and buy a dollar's worth, 50 cents worth. Mm-hmm. And that's when the first hurricane we were in. It was at 37th and Ogeechee Road, and everybody was out of electricity, practically. And I took the car and took the tire off and put a belt on that and put it on the pump and pumped people gasoline.
1939.
Yeah.
And then another one following
in this
house.
That was the 47th, Bay and West Broad.
Yeah.
And I was the only station in Savannah that had current then, because our current there is underground from the plant. So we were able to pump gasoline right on through the...
What's the storm that I've ever seen? She's uprooted.
That was in
41.
Well, I get the sense also from having talked with other people in that part of town that many of the streets in that area are only recently paved, that there was a lot of dirt streets.
Not so much now. The east and west streets, yes.
Yeah, the east and west, right.
But north and south, the streets were paved.
The main streets.
Yes.
We just had ours paved the past year. We've been living here over 50 years.
This street has
changed. Yeah,
they're just one block from the Atlantic to Folsom. And John Sonier, who's commissioner, attorney for the county commissioners, tried to get everybody to sign up for it, because you have to have 51% to sign up, and these widows in this neighborhood wouldn't sign up.
Really?
Huh. So his wife is the daughter of the mayor of Statesboro. The north-south streets were pretty much paved. The east and west streets were not too much of them. Now, from Park Avenue downtown to Bay Street was practically paved east and west, except beyond West Broad or east of Waters Avenue. But out in this area from Victor Drive, it was east and west was not. As a matter of fact, it was mostly country out in this area. But the streets were pretty well paved, north and south.
You could give me a little history of transportation in the city and highway development by, I don't know the dates as to when the other roads were built and Highway 17 stopped really being the main.
Well, that came about much after I was at Aspeno. They built that Millsby Lane highway to connect it. And they extended U.S. 17. It used to go out Montgomery Street, going south Montgomery Street, and then, but coming back, you come in on Drayton Street, Drayton to Bay and back down. But you see, I love to catch the tourists going south, and I had to go north because they had money. And coming back, they were broke. Uh-huh. Most of them, not most of them. But we used to, down at Bay and West Broad, we used to catch all the ocean steamship boats and the merchant miners. They'd load the cars and the people up in Boston and New York and come and dock here, and they put the cars off and the people, chauffeurs mostly, a lot of them. But anyhow, they had, when they put the cars on the boat, they drain all the gasoline out of them.
Oh, that was a good location.
Well, and they would come up Indian Street to West Broad, and we'd put our personnel down at facing Indian Street instead of Bay Street. And we get traffic. And if you got your lead off, all of them would follow the leader, come in and saying, "For so long, I'll see you down in Florida." And we, for 2 hours there, we were just as fast as we could go. And I had 9 men working the station. So we.
Did you have both black and white employees? Or?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I had 3 blacks and the rest of them white.
And they all wore special
uniforms and coats.
That was in the days before self-serve.
Yes,
long
that's right.
Before.
Oh, yes.
I guess they were there. I'm telling you. I don't know if they had their own restrooms, too.
These people, local people, coming by 5 gallons of gas and want the tires checked, the windshield kit caught, and car swept out, water in the battery, and they got the whole works.
So it sounds like you didn't really, at both, I guess at the Ogeechee Road and the West Broad, you didn't have to cultivate the local trade that much. You really heavily relied on tourists.
I counted on the tourists as a luxury down at BM West Broad.
Okay.
At 37th and Ogeechee Road, that was everything.
That was okay.
Because I had commercial accounts down at BM West Broad. And the trucks and stuff would come in and gas up. And then I had the transit, Burnham van lines, Mayflower van, and a lot of Allied trucks. As a matter of fact, I'd block West Broad all the way down to the electric company where you couldn't park them at night. But anyway, we counted the tourist trade coming in from as a luxury. And then you made your day in, day out bread off from the commercial accounts locally. But then we catch these accounts going back to Florida, coming up from Florida. Once they stopped in there with you, and one thing we did, we kept clean restrooms. I mean, it was spotless. As a matter of fact, we had one person to go in there after every person come out.
Really? That was their part of their job?
Oh, yeah. Because if you ever got any gypsies in there, you had a time. I don't know how they did it, but some of them, they even turned their butt up and it was all over the walls.
Oh, yeah.
I went right out there and cut that car. I says, you come in here and you're going to clean it up. I had a big blackjack on my arm then. I says, now you can hire this colored man here of mine to do it if you want to, but it's going to cost you $10. And they used to go in there and we had linen towels in the restrooms.
This is so different. This is like another world.
And they used to have these linen towels, and then they'd cut them off and put them under their dresses. So we didn't bite our tongue whenever they went to the restroom. Now, you bought those towels in there, you're going to pay for them, and then some. Mm-hmm. But when we figured that you were that type, you had a rough road.
Mm-hmm. Didn't have paper towels in there?
Huh?
Had
linen towels. Smell of linen supplies. Used to put them on a rack and just come over.
And then people would probably remember, oh, that place had such nice restrooms. We'll stop there again, and that would bring business.
Yeah. And we didn't hold them up just a minute. There's one man would be checking the water and the oil and stuff, and the other man was pumping the gasoline. Because you didn't have automatic nozzles in those days. And therefore, they were ready to go in less than 5 minutes. And they wanted to primarily use your restroom. And you could give them, I used to quote you to the mileage between every town from here to Hardeeville, South Carolina, to New York, Boston, Richmond, Washington, Baltimore, anywhere you wanted to. I'd give you the amount of mileage, how many, what's your routes. And we had plenty of maps there to give them. So
if there were anything that, he'd tell me how many miles it is from here. Ask him or something like that. He'd tell you right off the bat.
I get the sense that Savannah itself was not a destination for tourists.
No, they were not. They were
around at the time. That was, they were just,
you see, these boats. Savannah was their terminal. They didn't go any further south.
Okay.
Merchant and miners and Ocean Steamship Company. Now, those are ocean liners now. I'm not talking about little small outfits. And when they come in, they maybe put off 100 cars or more for each boat. And then when they come up Indian Street, we'd be ready to greet them.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't hold them long. It was a man to clean their windshield and everything while they was gassing them up, and making the change, and you could, if you ever got that lead car, you generally caught 90% of all those that come off in the boat, because they come in there to say, "Hello, John. I'll see you in Palm Beach. I'll see you down there. Take care of yourself. Drive carefully and everything." On one occasion, I'll never forget, there's a chauffeur in there. And he got out. I operated all the way back to Williamson Street. And he took his dog on a leash down there, and the dog did his job down that side. When he come back, he got a napkin out of the car, and he took the dog by the tail and wiped his behind. But after I thought about that thing, I don't blame him. Because he had that dog up front seat with him,
mm-hmm.
and he'd be winding it up on him. So I could appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Many little incidents that I could well remember. But on the whole, I have no regrets for any of it.
As far as that neighborhood near the Ogeechee station, many people I've talked to didn't have cars in those years.
Oh, no, no.
About
the only one is the Moonshine Boys.
Okay.
I got their treat because they knew that I wouldn't tell nobody anything.
Uh-huh.
I'd say, I don't know who you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
Just like you going out there and trying to find M. Kimball. I never heard of him. He lived right next door to him.
Uh-huh.
But anyhow, so I had the Moonshine Boys trading with me.
And there were a number of them, I guess.
Oh,
all
yes.
Over town.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard other people talk about some of these places.
Yeah. So we enjoyed their business.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd, one would tell another one, where you go get your gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
Because they knew that I wouldn't tell on them. I didn't know them. I didn't, never heard of them. He may come in here, but I don't know him.
And when were these? I guess it was when the interstates were built that
yes,
it really impacted on the other highways.
Oh, hi, how you doing?
Now there's Sandra Elkins is
the amazing.
Were you still in the having a service station when these interstates were built and took away a lot of the business from town? Or
yes, in a way, but I was out back in the trucking business.
That's right, then you were in the trucking
business. I was in both businesses, and I decided to make it one because one was requiring so much of my time and capital until you go out 31 counties, got salesmen on the road, and manager, and bookkeepers, and parts room. And your mechanics. So that's whenever I sold out my service station.
Mm-hmm. I guess once those interstates were built up, the downtown service stations, like the ones you had managed, really saw a decline.
In a way, yes, and in a way, no. You remember 301? Come through Statesboro, it really took a lot of the business away from us there for a few years because US 17 was not improved very much. And but now when I-95 come in, of course I was out of it, but long before then.
But 301 was built after Highway 17.
Well, 17 was
in the original.
Yes, that's okay. Correct. It was just two-way traffic. It was no ramps out on the side of the road where you could pass one another hardly.
I'll have to look up the date as to when 17 was built, when 301 was built, because I think that.
Well, 17 was built whenever, more than likely when I was a child. It was there whenever I.
You remember it being there? As
yeah.
A child?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They did widen it as far as being able to add a little asphalt on this side and a little bit on the other side, and where you could go around one another at certain places. But then they took the US 17 off from 37th Street. That killed the tourist homes that was there on there. They used to have those all together. And they used to do, they'd fill up before dark.
Yeah, a lot of people have mentioned that area, and I've seen photographs of some of the houses when they.
Then when they put in Millsby Lane and directed traffic, they moved it off from Drayton Street, made it on Montgomery, and then so there's been a lot of changes. Wasn't in a great deal of changes except the improvements on the highway itself. Mm-hmm. Getting them through the city of Savannah was always a. They had, when they went out Bull Street or anything, they had to run around those little parks and everything else, and it's quite confusing whenever you don't, not used to them. And they used to go out to 37th Street and turn right, go out. But then on Mildred Lane, was really made US 17. That took it all the way from 37th Street. And that put those tourist homes out of business. Mm-hmm. Except those people who had been staying there year after year and know where they were at. Mm-hmm. But even then, the people could not survive unless they had year-round traffic.
That area of town appears to have been quite a nice neighborhood.
It was.
In the 30s and 40s. And also an integrated neighborhood. It sounded like there were both.
Not much on. Not. It was all whites on 37th Street. Mm-hmm. Now Florence Street started in colored people.
Okay.
And that both north and south and east and west. Of 37th Street was color, but then 37th Street itself was primarily white tourist homes. Mm-hmm. And they began to get out of there one by one. And so with that, the tourist route as far as 17 is concerned and 37th and Geechee Road of 37th became dormant. It just no longer. And
yeah, I was going to ask you that area of town today is deteriorating.
Oh, very much
so. And I was going to ask you for your opinions about some of the causes of why that part of town is kind of.
Unless they're willing to adapt to some changes, they come and stay for a while and move back out.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a Negro woman over here. She paid $185,000 for her house right there on the next street.
Uh-huh.
And then her husband found out she was pregnant by another man, so he left her.
Uh-oh.
And, mm-hmm. But the Negro population, per se, unless they grew up and got up a little bit in the world, those are different types that stayed back down there. The others are moving, integrating out into the white neighborhoods.
So it's just the old families leaving and other more transient people moving in.
That's right.
And I was going to ask your wife a question, but she's going away.
She wants to ask you a question. Go over here and answer the question.
Sure.
Yeah, you had mentioned when you used to go visit him down at the station.
She didn't visit me. She'd bring me my food. I couldn't come home to eat.
Where were you all living at the time?
Right here.
No.
Oh, I lived
on
51st.
No.
38.
No. Pearl Jefferson and what?
42nd and Jefferson, that's only a short time, but Ruth was born there.
And then from there we moved to.
And then we moved over here.
No, 51st Street, a little house there.
Yeah. And then we moved over here from there.
From 51st.
We've been here since July of 1941.
So we've been here in this house a good 50 years.
Over 50 years. I'm giving my daughter a cold drink. How about you? Sprite or Coca-Cola?
I'd like a little Sprite. That would
be
great.
Okay.
Tell her the truth. It's 7-Up.
Well, is it 7-Up?
Okay. That's fine. That's just as
you've been here since July
21st, 41? July
41. Give her the drink and you're going to kill her.
July 21st is when you moved in?
We moved here July the 3rd.
Day before 4th of July. I remember the day.
You need not get the stamps. I got them today.
Well, if I hadn't been in the doctor's office for 2.5
hours,
I'd have got it.
If your mother hadn't got that check off to Dr. DeHaven, he
she didn't live in this neighborhood. She lived in the other neighborhood.
Right, in that neighborhood.
She lived in the
service
station.
I met her, where the service station was.
Did you meet the day we met? I don't remember the day we met. When did I meet? I used to know her as a child, as a baby, because my mother used to know her grandmother.
And her mother.
And her mother, and used to go over to their house, which was it across the street or something?
No, down to the 10th, 5th,
the swim fish was on.
So that's what I kind of wanted to ask you about, visiting in that neighborhood, whether you walked around in the area.
No, she drove a car down to bring me my lunch, and I'd eat there in the station because I couldn't afford it. But we were busy. We were the largest standard station they had in the city, or the largest service station in the city.
You're talking about the one downtown?
Yeah.
Yeah, he used to eat in the tire room. He used to sit on top of the tires until he finished eating because there wasn't any place else to sit.
She's a little bit older than Sandy.
Yeah, I'm a little older. She's the same age as my sister. Okay.
But it doesn't sound like that part of town was a place that in those years that you had to be afraid about being in.
No. That's one thank God that we didn't have to worry about being robbed. Only indication of a thief would be you hitchhikers. And they wouldn't bother you because nobody would get in trouble quick. But the tourists, I've had women come in there and have them in the car with her, and she drove up to my gas pump and hollered, get out. And he said, sit there just as big as you would. I'm not getting out of there. I walked over to the door. I said, did you hear that woman?
About a calorie.
I said, you're going to get out of there.
Thank
you. Won't be able to get out of there.
Jenny?
Or you won't be able to get out of there. He saw the big black jacket strapped to my arm. It's leaded.
You want to go
and out he went.
Bernie?
No, I don't want to give
in. Coca-Cola?
Nope.
Cookie?
Nope.
Candy?
Nope. No.
Mama, what about this?
Kiss?
Yeah. Behave yourself.
No, okay, fine.
So you mentioned Kimball. That's one of the people who lived in the neighborhood, the Kimball family.
Tell me. Oh, Bubba and Ben Kimball.
Yeah, you said they were...
They're moonshiners.
Oh, is that what they were famous for? Okay.
Yeah, oh yeah. They lived down there right at the edge of 37th Street where it got to be Laurel Grove.
What race were they?
Black.
Okay.
All my moonshine boys are black.
Uh-huh. And they were a few who had money in those days.
Yeah, they had cash. Otherwise, you'd be carrying them. I could give them, afford to give these moonshine boys credit because they'd pay. If he didn't pay, you'd tell one of the other boys was in the business, and they'd see to it that he come in and paid that bill.
Because they wanted to keep
They wanted to keep in good with you.
You in Georgia Southern. Got a lot of relatives up that way.
Well, I was telling him that.
In fact, one of the girls that keeps the grounds, in charge of the grounds, is related.
She used to stay in Brooklyn, Georgia.
I still do. I moved last...
That's where he was born.
Yeah, I moved last year to...
RFD Gene.
To States.
Rural Free Delivery, right out there on Black Creek. My father's buried at Upper Black Creek Church. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of your relatives are still out in Boulder.
Oh, yeah. You know Thetis Waters? Or she was originally Thetis McCormick. She lives in that brick home, the last one on the right, going towards Statesboro, out of there. Mm-hmm. And had her son, Harry McCormick.
Napkins in the bottom. Hey, Cole needs you to identify some people way
Thank
back
you.
Then.
Hey, Cole.
She had a Thetis Waters. Let's see.
Ruthie's and then
Peggy's. Then there's, I hate to admit it, but it's Bubba Hendricks. Mm-hmm. You don't want to know him.
What's wrong with him?
Cocaine or marijuana or whiskey or all of it.
Yeah, I've only been there a year now,
Well, you're just an infant.
Yeah, I was taken under the wing by Mrs. Denmark. Juanita Denmark?
Yes, I know her.
Yeah, she rented me a little apartment in Brooklyn. And has been very nice. 11, 13,
As a matter of fact, I worked in World War I as a messenger boy at Terry's Shipyard in Port Wentworth. World War I. Catch our open air trolleys in the corner of York and West Broad, and you're lucky if you didn't have to ride on the top of it. Hold on. Going out then, I was a messenger boy out at the shipyard.
Mm-hmm. Down in Tower. Mm-hmm.
But,
they know that one.
That was the first World War. Germany.
Have seen so many changes in the city, seen it grow
and
change over all these years.
No doubt about it.
Because I guess it was, someone told me it was at World War I that really Victory Drive was named Victory Drive in honor
of that
winning of World War
I. Actually, there used to be palm trees all the way down to Tybee. Each palm tree represented some man in this community gave his life during the war.
Really?
Yeah, and since they made so many changes and turns where you can turn and go around, they've eliminated most all the palm trees. Mm-hmm. It used to be from Savannah all the way to Tybee. Then there used to be the train that ran from Savannah to Tybee, and there wasn't no road. We used to have to catch that on the corner of President and Randolph Street.
What year did they do away with the train and put up the road? Or about what period?
Oh, I'm sorry, I can't answer you that. I don't know.
That's interesting. So, well, you remember the days when you had to take train.
Yeah. If you missed that last train coming back in from the beach, you you're in a heck of a fix.
And I guess other people have mentioned streetcars were
common. Well, we used to have a jitneys, too. Cars would come out Whitaker Street to 37th Street, come down 37th to Drayton, and back downtown, Nickel. Mm. Pick you up on the corner of the streets. Mm. We call them jitneys. Then we used to have an E&W streetcar line that ran from West Broad on downtown, and it used to come out Barnard Street. But and then it used to go by out here, going out to Alahoo. So this has been a lot of changes.
Yeah, I guess the whole society has become more car-focused on the public
transportation. The American way of life is built around four wheels.
Mm-hmm. And you really were part of the development of that. Yeah.
If that or either trying to put them out of business.
Mm-hmm. Well, your trucking company, it was commercial transportation?
No. We're dealers in these trucks.
Okay.
I sold. We had sales and selling trucks and trailers. And we sold 31 counties in Georgia and 8 counties in South Carolina. And all the way from up above Dublin, Georgia to Hawkinsville, back to Adel, Georgia, down to Thomasville, and over to Bainbridge, back up through just this side of Brunswick, and come skip them, come up through Jesse. Mm-hmm. But then that was back when trucking was more or less in its infancy. You find some little country boy and put him in business. He'd be about the only thing he could haul would be produce, because you'd have to have ICC rights to carry any, even put lumber now in the ICC. Back in those days, you'd haul all you wanted to. And none of them hardly made it much out of it.
Ask you one more question about back at Ogeechee Road. I know there were white and black business owners and operators in that area.
There wasn't
area
a white black one over there.
Not on Ogeechee Road.
Nope.
No.
Okay. I guess further back now, in the neighborhood.
You have to back up towards E&W Laundry. There might have been. But I think there was a white man running the grocery store. And there might have been kind of a confectionery that belonged to a black person up there. But mostly all the people on the Geisha Road, Road was white.
White managed or owned.
Yes, that's right.
There had been black operators, owners, what the relations were between the
one that was black is the Loaches, those boys that operated that garage. Now, they were black, and they...
Okay.
And they were kind of educated Negroes, and they were good citizens. I really thought a lot of all of them.
So you pretty much knew all these people.
Oh, yeah. They all knew me, and
people.
I knew them.
Mm-hmm. Even though you were competitors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did they have a name on there for them?
They had no... Earl, put your drinks back in the refrigerator so they just stay cold.
We might drink some more.
That's not bad.
Oh, I'm fine.
She's identifying
thanks.
People for me.
School delivering telegrams at night and everything.
We can tell you about any part of Savannah you want to know about, not just that area.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
because you've worked and lived in a lot of
We used to paddle these bicycles at night, getting out delivering. Only time a Negro got one said, got a telegram and said, come and come at once.
Funeral or something.
Or somebody's dying. Mm-hmm. And they would tell us then, but later on, now you can't get one of them to tell you.
Oh, they would tell you? What
where they were at. Mm-hmm. But they won't do it now. Well, if I ask for Vernice, it says she lives down the next block. Now you ask, I don't know her.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the difference in now.
Was it everyone in this neighborhood living here? The house of the first one? The street of the second house or the third house?
So this was like on the frontier of the city at the time?
Well,
the outskirts of the city.
Outskirts, mm-hmm.
They're all
streetcar along 59th Street. That's as far as the city went.
Mm-hmm.
From what I
put this back in.
You're not going to let me have any more to drink. I was ready to pour some more.
You're not going to run my blood back out hunting that damn 7-Up.
I want ginger up with the white.
I'll take the picture up to Peggy. Maybe she'll know.
I have a little Gardner girl. Mary Gardner. You were vice president or president of petroleum dealers?
Yes.
Of which dealers?
Petroleum.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And didn't you belong to, what's that, Ring?
Masons.
Masons Lodge.
Yep.
What else did you belong to?
Trouble Club.
The Trouble Club.
And I guess in those years, blacks had their own separate organizations.
Oh, yes. Right? Oh, yes. They still do.
Mm-hmm.
It's no different.
As far as business clubs and
so on. Well, as a rule, you'll find a few of them. And I don't think you find, whether you find any in the Exchange Club now or not.
Mm-hmm.
Back in my day, they didn't even have any Negroes in the Exchange Club.
That's right.
They had their own Masonic word.
Yeah, they've told me about that.
And then, too, they had their own churches. Since that time, most of the white churches have moved this way and sold their churches to the Negroes.
As they've moved further out of the center.
Well, Calvary Baptist is one of them, and you can keep on naming them one after another.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think the whites that have remained downtown, they're... Their membership is dwindling away because they're out in the suburbs now.
Mm. It's coming back.
Huh?
They're coming back big time to downtown.
with this development of the historic area and all that.
I visited.
It's quite expensive now, I think, in that
district. And Kay and Don Cole moved down there, and that's who we had breakfast with yesterday. And they'll come see them. We went to see the Olympic flag thing come in and everything else like that. And he said they love it down there. He said that everybody is so friendly and so open, and they meet together constantly, and they go down to the drugstore at the corner to have breakfast together or do a lot together. And there's a lot of people from up north that have come in and renovated, and they live here like 6 months of the year, like Kay's neighbor next door.
So it's becoming kind of a retirement place for people to live in the cold months.
Well, even some of the people that from Savannah originally, they're finding their grandparents' homes and remodeling and redoing them. The one that Kay just redid was Ann Solomon's grandparents' home before they built the one at Grimble's Point. And
the one on D&W Laundry. Mm-hmm. I'll get you a...
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people mention that laundry as a primary employer.
That's the Solomon family.
Mm-hmm. And then Ann and Sue, who neither one live here, are renovating a home to retire to eventually downtown. And I forget who they told me the name of those people were. But, I mean, they know these families. It was in the family originally.
Mm-hmm.
And they're redoing them.
Getting their ancestral family homes.
Plus, one of the girls is a genealogical researcher, one of the best that you can find around. So she does a lot of research. I'm sure it's a lot of the same.
About this high, and they go around with them on their heads and sell vegetables to the houses and sell you butter, beans, peas, and cucumbers.
And they went throughout the city.
Yeah, and then they'd sell you oysters, crabs, crab eye, oyster eye.
They would call.
Oh, yeah, you can hear them.
And the milk wagon used to come down.
Well, the bakery, too.
Strong.
And the ice wagon, too.
Yeah.
So people didn't really have as much need for cars in those days.
Nope.
Because all these peddlers came. There were grocery stores and other stores right in the neighborhoods and deliveries. Right.
They were doors. Sure were.
And delivered gasoline, too. Mitchell, and he
had about 8 or 10 trucks, and they were cutthroats. They had no brand gasoline.
Generic.
Well, I've sold gasoline for 15 cents a gallon.
Uh-huh.
And you see what it is today.
Uh-huh. I hear that being with brought up from here, I had to take 12 minutes to get to a place of business to give it lunch. 12 minutes. Now I have to stop it all. Stop the streets and signal lights. Take you over a half hour to get up there now.
Mm-hmm. So that was a daily trip for you to go down and take them his lunch? And
didn't take me long. Just 12 minutes I could be up there. Mm-hmm. But now you can't with all the lights on.
You said when he used to go to school, when they lived out in the country, that he used to go and they used to have a large body of water to cross before they could get to the school.
That's Black Creek.
Was that Black Creek?
Yeah.
So the way they got across the water was they had logs and they had them staked down and they had to walk them, and they were slippery in the wintertime. Of course, they said the boys used to take turns trying to knock each other off.
They didn't try to knock one another. They'd push you off.
And then they'd have to go on to school waiting until time to turn around and go back. Some experiences.
I guess you've been out there and visited your relatives out in that part of the world, Bullitt County.
Yeah, I know the area. Mm-hmm. So the schoolhouse he went to.
My father gave the grounds for the school there where I first went to Holly Grove.
Too?
Huh? Yeah, and gives some land to the church.
Cemetery, too.
Well, that was land to the church.
Well, the schoolhouse, I thought, was the teacher's house herself. I thought that was her house.
No.
The teacher lived with the people that lived at the
Holly Grove High School is where we went to school.
I wasn't talking about the high school. I was talking about that farmhouse.
Well, that was grades, grammar, and up to high school right in that one building.
Well, but it was a house.
No, it wasn't. It's been become a house, but back in those days, it was two rooms to the whole school.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Oh,
thought the teacher lived there. I know you told me that
teacher
all the everybody went to school.
She took turns living with different students.
She took their turn doing what?
Look at the different students at the home. The students.
No. No.
That's good. People.
She had room and board somewhere.
Well, different people that she lived with.
Well, now, wait a minute. She wouldn't live with different people. It'd be one family. And back in those days, they could use a whip, too, and they could do it.
Sounds like you remember some of that.
I do.
Very well.
Very well. I got my share.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, then, I sure do thank you.
Store over there at Florence and 37th Street.
And that restaurant, Four Shields on the corner, 37th.
Yeah, but that's way back up Montgomery, Pearl.
That's what that was.
Now, we're talking down beyond the West Broad.
Right,
but
West,
she was
West
on
Broad.
She has Montgomery, I think, in her area here, doesn't she?
No,
Burroughs,
I think it's just out.
This
West
is
Broad.
Broad.
Yeah. So it's
West
Broad.
Broad
of
the black neighborhood.
What?
Montgomery. East or west of West Broad?
How's that?
Borough Street.
Borough's west of West Broad, running north
Burroughs,
and south.
Right. Yeah, can you remember any other businesses that you recall in that neck of the woods there?
Not necessarily.
Biggest one was that
E&W
Laundry at the end of...
E&W Laundry. East and west, Pearl.
They called it East and West Laundry?
E-W. E&W.
That was the
like they used to call A and B, Abercorn and Barnard bus lines.
Well, this has been such an interesting